Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Caitlin Durante.
And my name is Jamie Loftus.
And this is part two. Whoa. Of our Lord of the Rings trilogy episode.
Hey, Caitlin, did you know that movie trilogy is really fucking long?
I did know that.
That passed the Bechdel test. If you don't know what that is, get with the program. Just kidding. But if you haven't listened to episode one of the Lord of the Rings podcast, we recommend, you know, maybe go back to part one.
Yeah,
listen
start
to
there.
It through. And this is part two.
I mean, if you just want to listen to this one, that would sort of be like starting in the middle of Lord of the Rings Two Towers and then only watching that and the
Which
rest.
Honestly, not to betray my opinion of this trilogy, would be totally fine. Nothing happens the entire movie, so it doesn't even matter.
Disagree. All kinds of things happen. Clearly, you don't remember Gollum trying to...
I remember
Gollum. Anyway, so this is part two. If you haven't listened to part one, we recommend going and doing that first. But otherwise...
But do you.
You do you. Your body, your choice.
Here's part two.
So that brings us to Eowyn. She is introduced for the first time in the second movie. She is the niece of King Théoden of Rohan.
Why do their names rhyme?
Like we said, her whole thing is that she wants to fight. All the men get to fight. Women are, you know, perceived as being helpless in this universe and that they have to be protected. But she is a skilled sword fighter and she wants to do her part in this fight, in this war, this impending war.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then she meets Aragorn and she's like, oh, who's that? And now all of a sudden there's a love triangle between Aragorn, Arwen, and Eowyn that has almost no tension in it. This is like the most boring love triangle in the entire world.
It is, because it's so clear that Aragorn is not interested.
Right.
From moment one. And again, in the same gender neutral way that this whole story plays out, we see her hurt being rejected by Viggo Mortensen, as everyone at the table knows. We've all been rejected by Viggo Mortensen. It doesn't feel great.
It doesn't feel great.
But he's not mean to her. It's not, and there's never a particular sexual tension between them in the first place. So it's almost just like it's a crush that is unrequited.
Right.
And so that is not particularly compelling to watch.
Yeah. Right. But like this introduction of like her really kind of falling in love with him, or maybe just having like a crush, does not need to be there. She serves another function in the story. So for her to
also
be in love with a man, I think like really sells out her character. And
for sure. And we also get one of my favorite sellouts of the female character who is allowed to do anything, because I think Eowyn by far is the most active character. And she still basically has no impact on the plot. But, you know, she's the most active by far. And there's that scene where she has a sword, and it's the first time we're seeing her wield a sword, and Aragorn like notices and is like, hey, you can do what the boys do. And she's like, I know, pretty cool, right? But I'll be humble and shy about it. And then because he's the, I think that we're to believe, because he's the first man who has acknowledged she's doing it at all and doesn't really say like, you're really good at that and I respect you, but he doesn't not say that. And I think that that is like for us supposed to be the entry point of like, she likes him because he's the only man she's ever met who hasn't negged her for her interest. I think that that's like the root of her interest in him is like, well, he didn't say I sucked like every man in my life does. Yeah. So I guess I love him.
Like, hey, that's relatable. That's bleak. How I date.
Yeah. It's true. I'm just like, are you not yelling at me? Cool, we're married.
Yeah. And then there's more to talk about with her character, but where her story ends in the one of 800 conclusions of this trilogy, she gets paired up with Faramir because Aragorn rejects her, so she has to end up with some man.
Doy.
So they place her next to Faramir. They like give each other a little like cutie eye. I think there's a moment in
I hate that the last minute like, don't worry, she's still gonna fuck a guy. You're right. Just like, oh no, we weren't freaking out about it. Actually, we were fine.
Yeah. So they get paired up, and heteronormativity is alive and well. So I kind of want to just kind of go through each of the movies and point out a few different things we see in terms of, you know, the gender dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So in The Fellowship of the Ring, again, we open with a woman's voice. We've got Galadriel being sort of this like omniscient narrator.
But she knows everything for long periods of time.
Yes.
Like the narration's very inconsistent in the movie.
Mm-hmm. That definitely. Yeah. And then when she does appear on screen again throughout the movies, it seldom happens. And then It's like again to deliver exposition.
Narrator IRL.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I guess you could argue that it's cool that like a woman is given like an omniscient point of view, sort of, but no.
Yeah. There is a retelling of this movie that puts her as the omniscient being, because that's really what was implied, I think, to a degree. Like, oh, this is giving it too much credit, but by making her the narrator, it's as if she's like speaking like, this is how it all happened.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the future of Middle Earth, she became the king of the world.
She became the storyteller. She's like, hey, everybody, you want to hear a story about 500 guys I met?
She becomes the new Gandalf. That's kind of what he does.
Right. Yeah. It'll only take 10 hours of your time.
No one's like, no, I don't. I'm good. We're going to dance.
There is a moment very early on in the first movie where, like, Gandalf is like riding through the Shire, and there's like all these children who are like, Gandalf, play some fireworks, and he's like, okay. And then there's like a hobbit couple, and the man is like, teehee, I like fireworks too. And then his wife shows up, and she's scowling because women be shrews, as we know.
Yeah.
And then he has to pretend like he's not having fun and not enjoying the fireworks. And it's supposed to be like this ha 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 comical moment. But the first depiction of a woman you see on screen is a shrewish hobbit lady. So I feel like that really sets the tone for the whole.
Yeah, and aren't, wait a minute. And that doesn't make any sense because hobbits are supposed to be so joyful.
Right.
And love fun.
Exactly.
So what's this woman crashing the party for?
Well, she's a woman, so she can't have fun.
She can't have fun.
Yeah.
Women are not having fun in this series.
No.
No.
Women are not giggling. I guess they go to Bilbo's party.
Yeah, but that's a few minutes of screen time, and then we hardly see those characters again.
Sam's wife has fun
she marries. Push out a lot of kids.
Yeah, once she starts t-shirt gunning out Sam's kids.
Yeah. That's actually in the extended version I saw. You see Sam's wife give birth, and it's like a machine gun of baby hobbits.
Progressive moment in cinema, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. You don't see
that because
they
show it from below.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
It's basically a biology.
Yeah.
That's in the 3D version.
That is in the 3D. It's we're more like hobbits than you would think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you see it up close.
So, okay, when we first meet Arwen on screen, again, it's not until over an hour into the movie. It's established that she and Aragorn know each other, but it's not we're not quite sure how or what, in what context.
Right.
Her introduction is a little cool because we do meet her by her holding a sword up to Aragorn's neck.
Very hot.
Yes.
So she is threatening his life. But then a few scenes later, you're like, oh, they're basically engaged to be married. So...
So it was just like a little empty. It was like a little thing they were doing.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't into Viggo watching that movie, but I think my little whatever I was, 9 years old self was like, ooh.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is kind of what? Ooh. What's happening?
Yeah.
And then but then a few
minutes think about this later.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's gonna be a few years before I can unpack this fully. Yes.
So then a few moments later in the movie, she's like riding up on a horse. There's like angelic music. Her dress is white, even though when it cuts to a moment later in the same exact scene, she's wearing a different dress. But she's like, she comes in as this like angel savior to like save Frodo's life.
She's literally glowing.
Yes.
Yeah. She and Galadriel are never not glowing.
Yeah. Like, although Gandalf glows too sometimes.
Gandalf does glow. He has his, but he does, but never.
Isn't he Gandalf not in the white?
When he's Gandalf the white.
Right. Yeah. For that one scene. But the, most of the time we see him on screen, he's dull. Old.
Yeah.
He's well, I mean, glowing. And to be fair, all men are dull. and all women are radiant and perfect.
True.
However,
except for.
And also, we don't see women who are not fabulously wealthy and conventionally attractive glow. We do not see poor people. When there are women on screen who are meant to be poor, they do not glow.
Hobbit right. women.
Yeah. Hobbit women do not glow. Yeah, like if you are hot, hot royalty, you glow. And even then, I feel like the only reason that Eowyn is not depicted in this way is because with Arwen and Galadriel, they're supposed to be these like virginal women and objects of desire, where we're intended to see Eowyn McGregor. We're supposed to see Eowyn as more of a girl. I don't think we're encouraged to view her as like a sexual being in the same way we're encouraged to see the other two.
But make no mistake, she's still part of a royal family because her uncle is the king. So she's royalty, and she's still conventionally, by Western beauty standards, attractive.
Yeah, we only get beautiful women. And the range in male characters, I mean, I know that's a complaint on all movies, but the range in male characters, man, you have a whole species of thing that is ugly.
Yeah.
Dwarfs.
You got, I mean, you can't extend it to color. There are white men of every shape and size in this film franchise. There's every kind of white man you could ever encounter in your entire life.
Yeah.
You got Legolas, you got the hacker. You got Frodo, you got Figwit. You got Figwit, the Brett McKenzie character. There's short hair. There's also long hair.
There's old. Hairy feet. There's smooth feet.
Old, yes. Not old.
Mm-hmm.
Wizards, sometimes not wizards.
Yeah.
The next thing that I think is worth noting that happens in the first movie is that we learn about the Uruk-hai and how they exist, which is that Saruman, the bad wizard, not to be confused with Sauron, the eye, he is breeding orcs and goblin men to make this like super race of crazy warriors, like great fighters, all this stuff. They take women out of the equation. There does not need to be wombs.
Yeah,
they right. are born as adults.
Yeah. They hatch kind of.
They hatch out of this like pile of mud
poop,
mud placenta.
Mud placenta is a way more.
I wouldn't give it placenta. There's no placenta there.
It's true. Right. It's that just it's mud. Woman.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like a pile of mud. That yeah.
Love that band.
Mud covered.
Puddle
in
of mud. Whoops.
I like puddle of poop. Lesser known.
Yeah. There's God's some like saran wrap covered in muddy poop, and that's they break out of that, and suddenly they're born. So that like, sure, that's how you breed. Uruk-hai.
Fun way Fine. To cut women out of the narrative.
Right, right, right.
Well, maybe, I mean, this is also anti-feminist, but maybe the implication is that because they're making the worst kind of obedient, like, creature, they can't have women because that would be too good. But, you know, that puts, that's not.
Yeah.
I'm reaching. Why am I trying to defend Lord of the Rings?
Because it's garbage.
It doesn't deserve
but
it.
But this is the kind of, I think this is definitely the kind of like franchise that you try to find a way to want to defend because yeah. it isn't aggressive towards women. It just leaves them out. And so it's harder. I feel like it's a little harder to reconcile.
Yeah, it's not offensive. It's not grotesquely offensive. It's just so, so.
It's a silent killer.
Yeah. omitting.
And then there's a fun moment in Rivendell, one of the elf cities, where Gandalf is like, hey, Elrond, actually, it's like menfolk who we should like be trusting and like putting our faith in men to rule the fate of, you know, Middle Earth. And
did he mean gender men or human men?
The race of men as yeah. opposed to the race of elves or dwarves. So that's what he means. But then Elrond responds, men are weak. So I think Elrond is a feminist icon. This is just all to say feminist icon Elrond, but which sounds a little too much like L. Ron Hubbard. I keep wanting to say L. Ron Hubbard.
Elrond, one name.
Yeah. So that's, for me, those were like the notable things in terms of gender in the first movie, where we're introduced to Arwen and Galadriel. They're, for the most part, sidelined. They have so little screen time that you forget that they exist. They're both like these like fair maiden, virginal, angelic, yeah. willowy creatures.
Very pasty skinned.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I wonder if this movie cares about women or not. And then you remember, not even a little bit. So then we get into the Two Towers, and this is when we meet Eowyn, and that's when it's established that she's both a good fighter, but also she is horny for Aragorn for, I mean, reasons that we've argued could make sense, but there's really no reason for her narratively to be interested in Aragorn. Like, that choice was made, you know, I guess, to just like, oh, well, there's a woman in a story and there's heteronormativity all around right. us. So let's make sure that she's in love with Aragorn so that we can have a love triangle. I don't know if that happens in the books or not. If you're a fan of the books or you've read the books, tweet at us and let us know if this love triangle was set up in the books or if this is just a change made in the film adaptation. I'd be interested to know that because I'm sort of skeptical. I feel like it was something that was added into the movies.
Yeah.
It's a very just to make it so that. Yeah. Yeah. So we learn that she wants to fight and that, you know, that's her whole thing, which I think is cool. I agree that she is the most active character. She yeah. has the most agency of any of the other female characters, which is not hard because there's only two other ones and they're basically pointless to the story. We do meet her uncle, Théoden, who is E.J. Smith from Titanic.
Oh, I forgot about that major twist.
Oh.
Major twist. The best twist in Lord of the Rings is that the captain from Titanic wears a wig in it. It's good.
Then there's a scene where Gimli the dwarf is talking to Eowyn, and he's like, it's true, you don't see many dwarf women. In fact, they are so alike in voice and appearance, they are often mistaken for dwarf men.
Right.
Which
Let's unpack that.
I mean, the whole way that dwarves are portrayed at moments in this franchise, I think that there are moments where dwarves are portrayed as better, but ultimately kind of offensive to the little person community. I'd be interested in like reading thoughts that either the actors or just the reaction of that community to dwarves as a whole. Because I know that dwarves take an even larger role in the Hobbit franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a lot, Hobbit, too,
for sure.
Smaug has spoken.
I mean, they went to battle. Yeah, I think I mistakenly referred to them as hobbits earlier when I was talking about Hobbit, too.
Oh.
But they are dwarves, and there was the whole to-do.
To confuse.
What are dwarves known for? What are their, like, traits?
In this world, they are basically capitalists because they hang out in their mines, mining their precious jewels and gold and all of that stuff. They don't want to be troubled with the outside world. They're really just content to be confined to their caves and their, you know, mountains where all their treasures are. So that's the rules that are... I think that's literally what Elrond says. He's like, they care nothing for the troubles of man.
And do they all die?
Right.
Dwarfs? Like, when they go to that... place and all bones?
There are, yes. I don't think the dwarf race is wiped out completely, but when they go to the mines of Moria in the first movie, yeah, all of the dwarfs there have been slaughtered by goblins. So yeah, we don't see...
But there's more mines.
I think? I'm not really sure. Again, I only know what's talked about in the movies, so if there's other information that's in the books, I don't know about that.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, yeah, I guess that those traits don't really mean anything in terms of the gender dynamics. But on the one hand, if men look like women in dwarf communities, that's interesting. But also the way he's saying it is like, if you don't look like a conventionally attractive, tall, white woman, then you are look you like even shit. A woman?
I thought that was the implication. I don't know.
Once again,
I don't know how to make sense of it.
Lord of the Rings apologist. You should see me watch Westworld.
I can't imagine you watching Smaug after oh, this man. Big Smaug apologist.
And Smaug is a woman.
Smaug is voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch.
God damn it.
So.
Never mind. You're right. I'm mixing it up with the dragon from Shrek.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they look super alike. I know they're different
feminist
movies. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Fiona.
Oh, you know.
But the whole dragon is a woman with donkey, very feminist.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that in our Shrek episode.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I gotta listen.
Oh, yeah. Strongest female character in the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So while we're, like, hanging out with Eowyn, Aragorn's all like, here's this new woman. How do I feel about this other woman that I know? And we see different flashbacks where Aragorn is basically like, we can't be together. You shouldn't sacrifice yourself for me. Telling her, like, oh, let's end this without really, like, checking in to see, like, how she feels about the situation.
Right.
Elrond is all like, Aragorn's going to die no matter what, and you're going to be sad about it. And then you're going to have to live on forever being sad because apparently when your loved one dies and then you keep living, you mourn forever. There's no way to get over it. And she'll just spend the rest of her immortal life in mourning because, you know, she's just so sad that a man dies that she has to basically just, like, kneel by his grave forever. And that's the only thing that she can do is what the movie is, you know, suggesting will happen.
Yeah.
But then she keeps telling people, like, no, I've made my choice. This is what I choose. But no one, like Elrond, Aragorn, they do not respect her choice, and they keep trying to convince her to choose something else. I mean, it's her choice. Do I think it's a good choice? Personally, not especially.
And also, but it's like the choice foisted upon her by, well, I don't know. Yeah, it's a choice foisted upon her by two women and a man. Yeah. Because the Arwen story, that's, to my understanding, is not Tolkien. That's like something introduced into the narrative by the movie, which is written by 66% women.
I really now I want to know what that process was. Well, okay. Yeah. First of all, we've been over this a bit. It was the time. There is like a conventional wisdom, and there was more so then, to how movies were written, where it was like, in those blockbusters, you must have love triangles.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I mean, that's still true. Yeah.
Yeah. And if women are introduced because they're not the protagonists, in this heteronormative space, well, what else are you going to do with them?
Right. Like, what function could they serve besides being in love with a man?
I want to live in a world, and I'm sure because this franchise is so intensely documented that perhaps there are other drafts of scripts available. But I mean, because there's so much Lord of the Rings media, I would love for there to be a world where the female screenwriters pushed a more progressive female narrative, but because it was 2001, the studio said no.
Yeah.
So at least there was an effort made to give, but, you know, that's my
idealistic.
Best case scenario dream. Mm-hmm.
But it is something to consider. Like, the studio definitely had some impact on this script.
I hope so. I mean, it's the narrative now that every time I see a movie that doesn't treat women well or at all, that is written by a woman, I sort of go to, we talked about this in the Frozen episode a little bit, where there's, for some reason, it's very well documented how many notes the writer of Frozen, a woman named Jennifer Lee, got during the course of making that movie, where the original way the story was written was way more progressive. And it's pretty well documented where she was getting the notes of like, this has to change or we're not going to make it. This has to change or we're not going to make it. Oh, that's
great. That makes me feel better. It's, I mean, better and
well,
worse.
Yeah. In some, it at least gives you some hope in that you're like, writers do want to tell these stories.
Right.
It's not that they don't want to tell it. It's that men with a lot of money usually don't want to show it.
Yeah.
It's an empty, it does give me some peace. I will say. It does give me some peace.
Yeah, it gives me some hope.
Hopefully these like studio heads will start to learn that...
Or die.
Right.
Honestly, probably die first.
They will likely die before they respect women.
And then hopefully be replaced by more progressive people who are willing to fund movies that showcase women in a more positive light and, you know, not adhere to such rigid gender roles.
Yeah.
Here's hoping. And with that, let's take a quick break, and then we will be right back.
Good idea, Kaylin.
Thank you.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
So a little bit more about what happens in the Two Towers. We are hanging out with Eowyn a little bit, and they're heading to Helm's Deep because all the people of Rohan are in danger because there's Saruman's like launching an army on them, basically.
Classic Saruman.
Classic Saruman.
He loves unleashing.
So they get attacked by some orcs on these warg creatures. And Théoden's all like, Eowyn, like, lead the people to Helm's Deep because the men will fight. And she's like, no, I can stay and fight. And he's like, no. So she's like trying to make a choice, like trying to be active in the story. And a man is like, no, sorry, you can't. You have to take all the women and children who are so vulnerable and put them in caves so that they can be protected.
Tee-hee.
Hee-hee. So that's pretty much her role for the rest of the movie, is that she is stuck in a cave with all of the other women because she is not allowed to fight. Meanwhile, Legolas and Gimli are making a literal game out of war. They're like, let's see who can kill more people. Won't that bring some levity to war?
Yes.
Well, kill more kind of people.
The Uruk-hai.
Although, is there like a racial thing we should address with that? Because I call them kind of people, and now I'm like, ugh.
Well, okay, yeah. Let's try to unpack the racism in the Lord of the Rings trilogy for a moment. We can start with the racist hierarchy of wizards. In the books, there are like brown wizards, and they're a lower class, and then there's gray wizards, and they're above brown, and then the white wizards are the highest class.
With the wizard hierarchy, my understanding was the goal is to get as white as possible.
Exactly.
Yes. So like literally the whiter you get, the more powerful you are.
So that does not set a great precedent right away. The goblins, the orcs, the Uruk-hai, like all the bad guys generally have darker skin compared to all of the good guys in the movie, which are, you know, men, the hobbits, the dwarves, the elves. Mm-hmm. Are all white as can be. Oh, there's a fun video where you can see a supercut of all of the lines in the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy spoken by actors who are people of color. Mm. Believe it or not, they all play bad guys.
Oh, whoa.
And it's like less literally than a minute long.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just some of the Uruk-hai who are like, get a fire going. And that's pretty much it.
It's so much worse than I want to believe.
Also, so in the second and third movie, the bad guys in Mordor are recruiting mercenaries to like fill out their army of orcs. So we do see some human people, but all of their like recruits are dark skinned, brown, come from lands foreign to whatever like Anglo-Saxon-esque fantasy world that Middle Earth is.
It's so vague.
It's like
it's so racistly vague.
Yeah. And Peter Jackson makes the same huge misstep in King Kong.
Which is like at its core the racist story that won't die.
Right.
Like,
yeah, why do they keep making that?
Yeah. I'm like, there are some things that keep getting rebooted. They're like, this time we're going to fix the root problem. I was like, you can't. That's what the story's about. Just make a different one. Mm-hmm. Just make a different one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there is like a weird attempt to like have quote unquote racism where dwarves and elves hate each other, because when we first meet Gimli and Legolas, they're like, oh, gross, a dwarf. And he's like, oh, I'll never hang out with an elf. And then they become friends by the end, and they're like, oh, wow.
Well, it's weird because it's like you can read, I think Tolkien probably meant for this to be an allegory toward groups within humanity and like demographic groups. But it's weird when you do that. And I don't think that Lord of the Rings stands alone in this. I think a lot of fantasy fiction falls into this trap. But it's like weird when your allegory is like, look at our divisions and factions and prejudices, except we're going to erase any people of color and make it all white.
Right. Like, it almost seems like these narratives are attempting to be like, let us put this in terms you are comfortable with.
Yeah.
White people. And in the same, you know, like batch of scenes, completely disparage the only people of color in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I can't call them not quite people anymore, or whatever, kind of people. Oh, man.
So, yeah, between all of that and the fact that pretty much every good guy in the movie has blue eyes, like not that many people in the world have blue, like the ratio of blue-eyed people to non-blue-eyed people in Middle Earth is like 50 to 1. Sorry to our blue-eyed listeners. I see you. I respect you. I cherish you.
No, I'm not sorry. Fuck you guys. I'm also half Swedish, so like I have a lot of resentment toward blue eyes, you know, because I didn't get them. Which is fine. I'm fine with it now. But when I was in middle school, you better believe I wore contact lenses.
You did?
Ugh. Yeah, my mom was like, you want to fix it? You can get highlights too. And I did. She was, you know, she just wanted to make me more Aryan. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Because you're part Cuban, right?
Yeah. She wanted to stamp out the bad part. No, the Cuban part is great. Like, I'm getting myself in trouble.
It's hard to, on this show, it is so hard to not dig yourself a hole. We do it regularly.
Oh, yeah.
It is a part of the process.
We contain multitudes. I'm problematic.
Yuck. You know what?
I love Orlando Bloom. He's like kind of trash. The rumor is that he just undresses all the time.
What? Which is what?
Really? Wait, fun. You've heard that, right, Sophie?
Yeah. What? Like he just...
He just gets naked. That's why there is that photo of him naked on the paddle boat or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, I know that picture.
Yeah, because he is. It's like a known thing in dressing rooms that he just strips down doing hair and makeup.
That's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're that's sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But me hearing that at 11, I would have been like, that's so
you're
cool.
Like, I want to see that.
Yeah, they're so,
so
lucky.
He's so open with his co-stars.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wish I could be in a movie with him where he's naked.
I'm so jealous of Liv Tyler.
All right.
Oh, she doesn't kiss him. Never mind. No. Nicholas doesn't kiss. He's a hacker in this movie. He literally doesn't kiss.
Damn, you're right.
He's too busy. He's like, where are computers? Computers need to be invented already.
He probably invents computers in this world. He's we don't have Lord of the Rings world. 4, but if we did, it's called Legolas : Hacker.
He's certainly got the bandwidth for it because he's not interested in the emotions of others and has no romantic interests. He's like, do you remember the part with Legolas that made me, I was like, oh, he's a hacker, was right after Gandalf was like, see ya, and, you know, Free fell off a cliff, mm-hmm. and everyone thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. Everyone is displaying emotion in the way their character would. Hobbits are openly crying. Aragorn is like,
yeah,
he's smoldering over it. I think Gimli is crying.
Yeah.
And then Legolas is just standing there like,
why are all you people crying?
He's like, I'm not gonna cry for a couple of days, and even then it will be by myself. Like, I'm a hacker.
Quick thing to bring up the Hobbit again. There is like a love triangle that involves him and that Tariel character that gets shoehorned into the Hobbit trilogy. Mm. So I thought maybe Legolas was asexual.
Yeah.
But he is.
I prefer Legolas who does not fuck.
I think so too.
I think that was his official title as well.
Yeah.
Legolas. That was his official elven title.
Yeah. Legolas who does not fuck, : hacker.
Yeah.
Son of Megalus who did fuck to have Legolas.
Or maybe Legolas is just the correct combination of zeros and ones. And he was made by a computer. I think Sauron is a computer.
Okay. All right. Sauron, who does not have blue eyes, he has one eye, and it is red, yellow, fire eye.
But what was it before that, right?
We don't see because he's wearing a mask. Yeah. But a few things also to mention that happen in Return of the King. Mm-hmm. About a half hour in, Arwen has made a decision going against her previous decision to go to Elf Heaven after all. And then that's when she sees the vision of Aragorn and her small child, and she decides to turn back. And she's like, well, if I have the chance to be a mom, I'm gonna go and do that.
And I better have a son.
Right. Motherhood is great. I have a mother, and you guys. But so I'm not trying to disparage mothers in any way or motherhood, but
no,
it's
not
so often that a woman's motivation in a movie is motherhood. And if she isn't a mother, and it's just like
Westworld.
Like, oh, really? I can't watch
Westworld's
that.
A problematic show that I constantly apologize for and force Edgar to watch. But Vandy Newton's character is motivated 100% by a child that is fake, that like they designed for her to have. It's implanted memories, and they still ran with it to the end. Oh, God, spoilers.
Computers, am I right?
Computers.
Similar thing happens in like Kill Bill, where as soon as the bride finds out that she is pregnant, she's like, well, I have to drop everything and become a mother, even though I had never expressed that I wanted to be a mother up until now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a trope we see in a lot of movies and media where it's just like, you know, a woman, the idea of motherhood, if that is an option for her, she's like, oh, my God, like this is motivating my every decision.
Especially because we know so little about Arwen outside of that. That's like,
right.
I think that's the main deciding thing. It's like, it's, you know, obviously, if you want to be a mother, that's totally fine. And like, we at the Bechdel cast will not prevent you from doing so.
I will.
But, I'll I mean, Anna in. Will.
Yeah. I've stopped a lot of pregnancies, but not abortion or anything. Just, like, I've come in and stopped it from coming out.
Yeah.
She's put like, my hand there.
Yeah, it's because Anna will just turn on Westworld, and all of a sudden, no one will be horny anymore.
Yeah. And... so many orgies I've killed by putting on the finale of Westworld. The worst episode.
But because we know nothing else about Arwen, that's why that choice is so lazy.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then the big thing, the big, you know, gender thing that happens in the whole freaking trilogy is when Eowyn disguises herself as a man. She puts on this big helmet.
She Mulans.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
she
yeah.
picks up
she literally Mulans.
She picks up Mary. She's like, we're going to fight in battle together. No one wants us to. No one's allowing us
Mary,
to do
this.
Mary
in this case would be Mushu.
Is that the dragon?
Yes. The Eddie Murphy dragon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I need to make this Mulan.
No, I understand.
Mulan. Have you guys done Mulan?
We haven't yet.
So, okay, so then, so they ride into battle together, even though everyone's like, women can't fight. And she's like, well, fuck all that. Fuck the patriarchy. I'm going to fight in this war anyway. And it's been established that the king of the Nazgul, the Ringwraiths, he...
That was gibberish to me. Very,
he's a bad guy. And
but you said Ringwraiths as if it was, it would make us understand.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, the Ringwraiths.
The Ringwraiths.
You know.
I was a regret. It's like, yeah. Uh-huh.
So the king of the Nazgul, his whole thing.
King of the Nazgul? That's silly. Okay, sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about. the whole thing with him is that he is unkillable. No living man can kill him is what is said in the movie. So in battle at the end of Return of the King, Eowyn is fighting. She is slinging her sword around. She's killing bad guys, sort of. We don't get to see her fight that much. But then she is confronted, the king of the Nazgul. I don't know if he's named or not. He's right there. And she's like, oh, shit. She chops off the head of his, like, whatever dragon. Not Smaug, but whatever flying winged creature that he is on. They fight a little bit. And he's like, you idiot, no man can kill me. And she's like, she pulls off her mask and she's like, I am no man. Stabs him through the face, his head implodes.
Jock and then... jams start playing. It's crazy.
So this is, I think, supposed to be this like big empowering moment for women where it's like, holy crap, we thought that he couldn't die, but she was a woman, so she can kill him.
Yeah. You mastered my voice to a T. The
rules of this.
Oh my.
Holy crap.
God.
The rules of this make no sense and are not explored at all, but we're still supposed to be like, holy freaking crap.
I hate when a movie is requesting that I emptily yes queen at the screen without using my brain. I don't like it. It is one of the things that annoys me most in movies.
I mm-hmm. hate it, but sometimes it works on me.
Sometimes it works, and then I get even madder at myself later.
Too.
I'm
right.
Like, man, you fell for it. You got represented. You got too excited. You didn't realize it didn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. It feels empty because logically this doesn't really make any sense. Like, why would a female identifying person be able to kill something that a male identifying person isn't able to kill? Like, these rules are just like not explored at all. And it feels like a hollow victory.
Here's my apology of it.
Okay.
Here's my attempt. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like the myth is that no one can kill him. No man can kill him because he's such a good fighter. But he finally met the best fighter who can kill him.
But that doesn't... This gets back to another thing that annoys me in with female characters. How could she be the best fighter if no one formally really ever taught her?
Yeah.
Like, this is her first time in battle ever.
Or maybe
I don't
she
buy that she'd be the best fighter.
Costume to fight
other
maybe times.
It's the first time she's done it? That's true. I guess she never says, this is my first rodeo. Anyone have tips?
What I hate is that she gives it all up.
To be with Faramir at the end, you
mean?
Yeah. Right, yeah. So, she's got this, like, hollow yes queen moment in the end of the third movie.
And then, yeah, and then she becomes, like, sort of like a fair maiden like the rest of them, where it's like, oh, well, my role, now that there's no wars to be had, I can just hang out with this Faramir guy and...
Ironically, Uma Thurman was considered for this role.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Too powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, her face is too sharp. She looks, they're like, we need someone who looks more submissive.
Yeah.
That's literally what it says. She looked too mean. And I was like, oh, I love when people just say, this woman looks too mean.
Yeah, so people say that to me all the time. I have resting mean face, and anyway.
I think you have a resting great face.
Thank you.
And if you don't want to be happy, it's still great.
I know. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
One more thing on Eowyn I'm reading is, according to the DVD commentaries, an entire set piece Faramir Eowyn wedding scene was actually filmed.
What?
And ultimately cut and not even included in the extended edition, nor have any photos of the scene ever been made public. But the scene has been described by multiple sources of they went so far as to have them get married on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, very chill. At least they cut it from the movie, but also the fact that they considered it to the extent where they wrote and filmed it,
yeah,
is troubling.
Come on.
Well.
What money are they rolling with where they were just like, we're not even going to show this scene to anyone? Was it that
bad? They built a whole thing. I don't know. I'd be curious. Maybe that's, again, I keep going back to the female screenwriters. Maybe they're like, no, but it already got past them because they built the set. Damn it. I don't know.
Maybe there was a female producer at the last minute who was like, we can't.
Yeah, like there's
And that
so
was
neat.
Like her falling on the sword. Like that was her the only thing she could save.
Right.
And her name was Uma Thurman.
Also, Eowyn and Faramir marry in the books, apparently.
Okay.
Oh.
Great. So she has to end up with a man. Maybe not the one she wanted originally, but, you know, you can't be a woman in a story without ending up with a man.
And this is ironic. Okay. Faramir and Eowyn had at least one son, Elberon, and their grandson was Barahir, who wrote The Tale of Aragorn and Arwen.
Oh.
Why was her grandkid being like, remember this guy my grandma didn't fuck? Here's a story about him and his wife.
Well,
weird.
Do you think they passed on the lore of like, well, grandson, there was a man I wanted to fuck but didn't pass on this legacy.
I really hope they next brought to it. Grandpa, yeah. Like, you know who I was my first choice? Yeah. Not this guy.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Wait, I just remembered a female character that we did not talk about what? Yet.
Oh my God.
The dead bones of the dwarf who died?
Nope. Shelob the spider. The pronouns She-lob. Used for Shelob are female pronouns.
Shelob.
So I think what we can say here is for Shelob, feminist icon?
No. No one in this movie. We didn't even talk about Gollum.
Oh, we Gollum, so feminist icon. There we
He's
go.
He's so cute. Gollum is a queer icon. I love him. Yeah. I think he's so... Gollum is so expressive, and his eyes are so big, and he has 14 hairs on his gigantic head. Yeah. I love him. I just need everyone to know... Of course I had a crush on Gollum. And
I don't understand.
He's so cute. He's always... He's... and can Andy Serkis is a genius. No, but Caitlin can.
Let's not...
Let's not. You said you would.
Come on. I... No.
You, okay, you I'll took, do it. You assumed the position.
I'll do it, and then I'll probably cut this out.
Okay.
Well, do you want to hear Gollum, or do you want to hear Smeagol?
Oh, I'd surprise us.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
My precious.
That was perfect.
Ah, so
that was perfect.
Oh, Gollum's so cute.
Hobbitses. Filthy little hobbitses.
Yeah, that was perfect.
It's not great. It's not my best work.
Great. Give yourself some credit.
Yeah, we've been talking for a very long time. I feel like we need to wrap up.
We didn't talk about... Did we talk about the mom on the...
Oh, right. There is two female characters with lines. Well, should we talk about whether or not this movie passes the Bechdel test?
Yeah, I guess that fits in.
Okay,
yeah.
So there is one... Well, there's two scenes that are contenders, so let's try to figure this out.
Yeah.
In Two Towers, the second movie, orcs and Uruk-hai are invading Rohan, and there is a mother...
What does that mean?
It's a horse country. Right. It's where Captain E.J. Smith of the Titanic, that's his realm.
And his wig,
right.
The wig that controls his thoughts.
So they're about to get invaded by the bad guys, and there's a mother who says to her son and her daughter, she's talking to the boy at first, and she says, get on the horse with your sister and go to some place and raise the alarm. And the little girl's like, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go, Mama. And the mom says, Freda. So we find out her name. Mm-hmm. Freda, I will find you there. And then that's it. And then they ride off on the horse.
And we do find out what her name is in terms of the character, but I don't think it's ever spoken out loud by the movie.
I don't think it is either.
So, yeah, I would argue that I wanted it to pass, but I think if we're going by the movie, I don't buy the argument. It's like, well, she had a name in the book. And it's like, so did Brett McKenzie's character, and people just renamed him Figwit for no reason. So,
right. Also... Well, if you consider the subtext of this conversation, the context and the subtext, she's basically telling them to leave because there are several male warriors coming about to, like, raid their village.
Yeah. You so... shall not pass the Bechdel test in this scene.
Right.
You shall not pass.
That's my Gandalf impression. Also very good. Okay. And then later in the second movie, Freda is eating soup somewhere in Rohan. Eowyn is there. Freda says, where is Mama? Eowyn says, shh. And that's that conversation.
that is as close as we get.
Because those characters are both named, but I would argue that Eowyn...
That is technically a conversation.
That's
It's communication.
It's communication. But it's verbal communication.
Does she count as a line of dialogue? It depends.
I would
on the
say
screenwriter.
No. Here, okay. I'm gonna go ahead and say this movie does not pass the Bechdel test, because even if you like wanted to argue the technicalities, there's 30 seconds or less of this movie of women interacting in a movie that is over 9 hours long.
Yeah, that's
you
fair.
You shall not pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah, so this movie does not pass, even though it maybe seems like it comes close.
And also, when we say movie, we mean three full 3 hour fucking movies.
Yeah. Exactly.
We didn't discuss one conversation that happens in the first 3.5 hour movie. There's nothing to discuss.
Right. And those characters, the mother and her daughter Freda, only appear in those two scenes. They have no bearing on the story. Like, their scenes could be cut from the movie. And it really wouldn't change anything. So, yeah, the movie
Why
doesn't
are they even
pass.
There?
I guess to up the stakes yeah. of the people of Rohan. But, yeah, so I'm going to say that this movie does not pass. And, of course, that's not surprising at all. Because there are so few women in this entire world of Middle Earth.
It's weird because my ex-boyfriend's mom was named Arwen because her parents loved Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, but how sad, too. She was named after this, like, deeply unfeminist movie by, like, a very minor character who gets,
I guess, maybe
in the books.
But her parents were like, she's a feminist icon because she's there. Because
she's there.
She's literally allowed
to
be
there. We had three choices. We did what we could do. Galadriel was too hard to say.
Yeah. Eowyn is objectively not a very good name.
It's a terrible name.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well,
gang.
Shall we rate the movie on our nipple scale?
Hey, what choice do we have?
We don't have a choice.
This is our burden in life.
Yeah, our nipple scale is we rate each movie based on its portrayal and representation of women. Mm-hmm. 0 to 5 nipples. I'm between a 0 and a half nipple. I'll go with a half nipple. The movie has a few women in it. Great. not enough screen time. I guess it gets a half nipple instead of a zero nipples because of Eowyn's presence in the story and the fact that she has a goal outside of being in a romantic relationship with a man. Also, Galadriel doesn't have that goal, but she's basically there as an exposition. Yeah, she has no goals. So Eowyn has a little bit of agency, but it just everything feels like a hollow victory with her and with every female character in the story, just because they're mostly framed around the other men in the story. There's a love triangle that makes no sense to be there. Galadriel serves a pretty flimsy function just to, like, deliver exposition, and she has pretty much no bearing on the story. Like, it's just... it's upsetting. Like you said, Jamie, the movie isn't outwardly hateful toward women, and then it's not like saying, oh, women are gross and bad, but it's also not giving them any chance to do anything in the narrative.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll give it a half nipple, even though I think that's being generous. And my half nipple will go to Smaug.
Yes.
I'm going to give it 1/10 of one nipple because I can't give it 0 because it, like you said, it is not a franchise that is openly contemptuous of women. But I think that there is the argument that in some ways that's even a little bit worse, because at least when you revisit a problematic film franchise, you're just like, oh, I don't want any part of this anymore. This is out of my life. And hopefully if history continues in the direction it is, it will be a franchise that is by the wayside forgotten because people just don't want to see that anymore. Mm-hmm. But with this film franchise, because it does not put women down and just ignores them, it won't go away.
Yeah.
There's not enough of a reason for people who enjoy these movies to not continue to watch them because they're not espousing, you know, like bile at you. They're not saying shitty things. They're just erasing. And that is almost like a little bit worse because it's like these movies will never go away. There's nothing, you know, because on paper, they're like, well, he didn't say anything bad. Mm-hmm. They just erased everyone they didn't want there. Mm-hmm. So that sucks. I guess Eowyn, and that's why 1/10 of one nipple. And I'm giving it to Smaug.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I am going to give this. You gave it a half. Mm-hmm. You gave it a tenth. Mm-hmm. I'll give it like a fourth of a nipple because mm-hmm. I do think Eowyn's
Ewan McGregor.
That moment is something. I think it's very hollow. It's what so many movies do where it's like, here's something. It's what the entire movie of Wonder Woman kind of was.
Hot take.
It felt kind of like.
I want to revisit Wonder Woman because I think even a year later I would feel different, and I was riding a high at the time we did that episode.
Same.
Oh, I think I cried watching it because I was like, oh, this is beautiful. But that's the thing. When I watched Lord of the Rings then versus now, then I was like, oh, cool. This is fine. Mm-hmm. No problem. Galadriel talks a lot. And there is a step worse, which is Master and Commander. Which has no women except for once, and it's when they're like oogling and they're like, ooh, a hot woman.
What about the latest? And then there's the latest Chris Nolan movie. What did I
Dunkirk.
Used to call it? Boy City.
Oh,
Boy City.
Yeah.
Boy City.
Yes. Also Dunkirk.
Ocean full of boys.
Yeah.
Well, at least like Master and Commander has been forgotten.
Yes.
Like no one revisits that.
Dunkirk. I don't think anyone's going to be like, boy ocean forever. I don't think so.
Hopefully they have the same fate. But so I think there is a step worse. Can't give it a zero. And of course, I give that fucking quarter of a nipple to my hero. Her Smaug is a she for my purposes.
Her Majesty.
Mm-hmm. Her Majesty the Queen, Smaug.
That gives Smaug from a different franchise 85% of one nipple.
Yes. Yeah. One last thing I do want to say is that Shelob is a spider. Spiders have 8 legs. Mm-hmm. This is Spider Facts with Caitlin.
I'm glad Alfred Molina was not in these movies. I think he very easily could have been, but I think he was busy, and I think what he was busy with was Spider-Man 2.
I have bad news. Mm-hmm. He was too brown to be in this movie.
He was literally, and he's white.
Yeah. It's a high bar.
Oh goodness. Jesus. That may be true.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, too. This was delightful.
It was truly an epic.
An episode about as long as the movie franchise itself.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, everybody.
Where can we find you on the web?
You can find me at Bad Comics with an X by Anna with 2 N's on Instagram. I make a web comic about anxiety and depression.
It's really
and
good.
Also, thank you, my lactose intolerance. I'm very allergic to cheese, but I'm in love. I eat it every day. It's my struggle. And you can also find me on Twitter, same handle, and perform at UCB, my show, The Pickle Hour.
Yay. I love The Pickle Hour.
Thank
so
Jamie
much.
Is a many time returning guest. And Caitlin, we gotta have you on.
I'd love to do it anytime.
Yeah, we'll set it up. Okay. After this,
No, we have to do it right now. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks for Jamie. I know that you were reluctant to, you know, talk about an 18,000-hour movie.
I'm such a bitch. I'm sorry.
I still enjoy this trilogy. It is very bad at women, but I will watch it periodically for the rest of my life, probably.
At least we have Smaug.
We have Smaug.
You can find us online at Twitter at BechtelCast. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can contribute to our Patreon.
Ooh.
$5 a month is 2 extra episodes of listener requests only, except for when it's our birthdays and then we pick. So join up. It's super fun and a fun way to participate in the community as well. We love you. You're great. Thanks for listening. And Eowyn.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.